Hi, this is Cindy Chance. Thanks so much for joining this product council new chair orientation. We really appreciate your taking the time. Welcome to the call. This is going to be a brief orientation and Q&A for new chairs. If you're joining by Zoom, we're running through a deck. If you're joining by phone, I've sent you a PDF of our deck. For those of you whose systems wouldn't allow me to send the PDF, I've sent you a link. We're going to have about a 30-minute presentation, and then we'll have time for your questions and answers. So ULI's mission is to provide leadership in the responsible use of land and in creating and sustaining thriving communities worldwide. It won't surprise you to hear that product councils are central to that mission. Through the exchange of information and the sharing of best practices, council meetings offer industry leaders vital opportunities to further ULI's mission. Today on the call, we're going to hear a little bit more about that mission and also about your role as product council chairs. We'll get to hear from Ed Walter, ULI's global CEO, Gwyneth Cody, president of the Americas. I'll speak too, and so will Tim Dwyer, vice president of product council. With that, I'll introduce Ed Walter. Ed?
Hi, folks. I hope you're all doing well today. I want to echo Cindy's comments about thanking you for joining us and reiterate the point that I see product council membership and therefore product council leadership as an incredibly critical element of ULI. I think it is actually one of the ways that we differentiate ourselves from the other real estate organizations that exist out there. I want you to know that as part of the strategic plan, we made investing in product councils and investing members a critical element of the strategic plan. One of the ways that we're trying to do that will hopefully be even more noticeable over the course of the next 12 months are the investments that we're making in technology to both allow members to connect more easily with each other and, more importantly, to allow members to connect with all the product, all the information, all the thought leadership that gets provided by ULI as a whole through a significant expansion of our knowledge sharing platform that is under development right now and is expected to debut in the Americas in the fall. And I'm looking forward to hearing members' responses to the ability to find a lot of the information that we've developed over the years and be able to utilize that information in a simpler manner than we have in the past. The goal of this and the goal of the strategic plan is ultimately to enhance the value that we provide to members, and certainly our product council members are at the top of that list. I know that in your role as chairs, your first priority is to organize and oversee a great meeting, and nothing should come in the way of that. But as you step into these roles and step into a leadership role within ULI, I'd like to encourage you to look more broadly about how you and your council members can engage with ULI. At the top of my list is for you to look for ways to build connections with our centers on sustainability, on capital markets, and on affordable housing. We are trying to put those centers in a place where they can really become a leading voice on critical topics and where the activities of your council align with their activities and with their goals. Your input in terms of what matters and what makes the most sense can really be helpful in defining their program of work. And so this element of connecting our activities at the center's levels with our councils is something that Gwyneth and I are stressing throughout our system, because I think that's one of the ways as an organization we can have much greater impact. We know how much expertise sits at the product councils. I'd love to find ways to access that expertise in terms of the activities of the centers. Along similar lines, I'd love for you to look for opportunities to build connections with our advisory services platform. The expertise that sits within your councils could be incredibly helpful to any advisory panel or any TAP that might happen throughout the country or, frankly, throughout the world. And so to the extent that there is a level of interest in participating in those types of activities, we'd love to know that so that we could embrace you in those activities. Another thing that I want to bring up that may not have necessarily come up in the past, but is certainly worth thinking about, is the product councils that we're slowly but surely building in Europe and in Asia. While their effort there is well behind what we do in the U.S., it is starting to gain steam as the concept of a product council becomes better understood and as membership in those councils grow. And so to the extent that you or your members have an interest in the international elements of real estate, finding ways for you to participate in their product councils at their major meetings, and conversely offering at least a couple of their product council members from either Europe or Asia the opportunity to participate in your conversations during fall or spring, I think that only helps capture the global element of ULI and certainly would help in the long run in building out the networks in Europe and Asia. And lastly, I would mention that one of our major goals for the next 2 years is to work with our communities, our colleges, and our high schools to assist us in efforts to bring a more diverse pool of talent to the real estate industry. Every conversation I'm in at every meeting that starts to talk about talent ultimately turns to the issue of needing to find a more diverse pool of applicants. And I think as leaders of an industry, we recognize how difficult that is to do. We want to take that task on as ULI, and I think leaders like yourselves could be helpful in that. To the extent that that is intriguing to you, please connect with Cindy on that, and we will find a way to make you part of the effort. So with that, again, we'll thank you for participating in the call and turn it over to Gwyneth.
Well, hello, and thank you, Ed. I'm going to go for a hat trick here. I'm going to be the third person that tells you thank you, but I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's a very important role that you serve. Our product council network is, as Ed said, very critical to the success of ULI. Our product councils are an important way for our members to engage and network, raise standards, and share our best practices. I wanted to let you know that in the 6 months since I joined ULI, I have been out and about to our different district councils to spend time getting to know both staff and members. And I will tell you that what I hear about the product council program in my travels is that it is very sought after, especially by our younger members. And so we want to do whatever we can to continue to enhance and grow and develop our product councils. And we look forward to, in the future, those young members becoming more mature in their businesses and having the opportunity down the road to join our product councils. As you know, we've made some significant investments in the council program to try to keep you working as thought leaders and not as meeting planners with the details of the administration that goes with planning for meetings. So we hope that you're starting to see positive improvement in the amount of time, i.e. less time spent in event planning and less time on the administrative burdens that often go with planning for these meetings. So please keep us posted on what it is that we need to do to continue to improve your experience and the experience of your fellow members. And I will jump on the bandwagon that Ed just talked about, having just been at the Asia Pacific Summit out in Shanghai. It was very evident to me, talking to different members and members who have started the product councils in these Asian countries, they would love to be able to have opportunity to engage more with you, to learn from you, to have you visit out in those markets and or invite some of those council members as guests to your programs at fall meetings, spring meeting, etc. So thank you very much for all that you do. I really do appreciate your efforts, and I look forward to meeting you in the near future. Cindy.
Thank you so much, Gwyneth. So I'm going to do a little bit of product councils by the numbers and then talk a bit about our strategic plan. So by the numbers, as of this fall, there will be 64 different product councils doing all kinds of different activities that involves over 3,000 ULI full members. Product councils meet, as you know, twice a year at the spring and fall meetings. And an important question for me moving forward is that all we should be doing? Are there other ways to engage beyond the meeting? I'm hoping that you will help me think about that. As you know, members use councils for networking, professional development, and confidential discussion of industry-related issues. But again, one of the questions for me is there greater opportunity to impact the world through the work of councils? Product councils were actually begun as ways of impacting the world, and it seems they've become more inward focusing over the years. So I challenge you to think about your educational or impact mission as well. Turning to the strategic goals for the Product Council program based on ULI's strategic plan, we do have a goal of increasing opportunities for Product Council engagement. This includes both growing the number of councils and ensuring that councils are running what I would call full. Full is a little bit of a moving target. 55 is the number that ULI has always used as a sign of a full council, but we do have councils that run closer to 65 or even 75. So again, it's an important conversation. Having enough people with diverse interests and roles in the room is really important to having a good conversation and a good council day. It's also a strategic goal to increase the diversity of councils along every dimension. So that includes roles and responsibilities, regions, and also the number of people who are female, who are not white, and so on. Providing a higher level of service for council leaders has been very much on my mind since I arrived, and I hope that you've seen some improvements in our service, but I really challenge you to let us know where we can do better. It's not always obvious to us what your experience is, and we want to be sure that you're not spending too much of your time event planning. We have other people who can do that. We really want you to be focused on thought leadership, making your council day an incredible experience for your members, and engaging in some impact and education-related activities where you have the time and ability to do that. So talking a little bit about the strategic goals, we do have a goal to continue to expand the product councils. And just to take you back, we have already expanded by 10, 9 as of this moment, and the 10th will come aboard this fall. We added different types of councils, councils more focused on thought leadership and topics than on products. One of the things that I hear a lot of is that beyond moving from just products such as multifamily, urban mixed-use development, to topics such as placemaking and technology, I hear from product council chairs that you're seeing that your landscape is increasingly interdisciplinary. And I would challenge you to explore what that means. So for example, travel experience used to be about going to theme parks, and now it's about actually enjoying the urban built environment in which one finds themselves. So it involves and includes so many different elements of the profession than it used to. So I challenge us to think about what it might mean for the next expansion that the Product Council program is largely becoming a more interdisciplinary engagement. Possible new product council topics as we look at expanding in 2020 and beyond include some duplication of councils where we feel there's a lot of interest, such as technology or placement or office development, and also some new concepts such as end user or institutional owner, parking redevelopment, industrial logistics, laboratories and medical spaces, brownfields, or even anchor institutions. Again, I would love to hear your thoughts about areas where you think product council leadership should be moving, growing, and your thoughts about what types of new topics might be appealing to your members and even to people who have never been involved in the council program before. Sometimes when we're just thinking about the councils that exist, we don't take enough time to think about what else could we be doing that's new and kind of looking ahead 10 or 15 years as you think about your industry, where do you think the industry is really headed? That's the challenge for us. I wanted to talk briefly about leadership development and how you create the best leadership team you can for your council. Here, there's a very traditional formula that you might be aware of and familiar with, which is just a chair plus three, where the plus three is one assistant chair who is basically being trained to be the chair and takes responsibility for the agenda for the meeting and for a large part of the coordination of that, and then two vice chairs, one who has different responsibilities as assigned, and another who's responsible for foundation giving or annual giving. One of the things that I hear as I talk with chairs is that there has been a move toward having a larger leadership group with more distributed responsibilities. That's been working very well for a number of new councils in particular. And I'm guessing that the reason is that it takes some of the burden of event planning and management of all the activities of the council off the chair, so that the chair can focus more on the high level issues of concern to the council and actually managing the day. So for example, one council that I have spoken with described how they would reach out to members about which topics were of interest in any given meeting. And then they would actually assign to members who volunteered the job of taking on that topic and curating that particular area. And then the chair would be responsible more so, or the assistant chair, for making sure that the program was sufficiently diverse and making sure it diverse in terms of format and content, et cetera. But really the work of planning the meeting then ended up being in the hands of 8 or 10 people, as opposed to just being in the hands of 2. So I describe that to you for your consideration, especially if you feel that the job of chair or assistant chair has become too much. And I can certainly understand why sometimes it may feel that way. The role of the assistant chair is important in part because that's the way that we do leadership development in the council program. So it's worth thinking about when you're choosing an assistant chair, in effect, you're saying that you're choosing the next chair of the group. It's worth thinking about how does that happen? One of the concerns that I've heard is that the assistant chair is simply chosen to replicate the existing culture of the council. And I would challenge you to think about actually growing and changing and refreshing the culture of the council, meaning an assistant chair hopefully would bring a level of change to the council. But thinking about leadership development, I'd say we haven't done a good enough job of providing support. We'd like to do more of that. So I would love to hear how we could help you in identifying people in your council who would make good leaders, good chairs, and good vice chairs, and who could bring a different perspective to your council, or one that you feel is needed as you think about how will this council be impacting the world 5, 10, or 15 years from now. On the subject of what makes a good product council experience, we hear over and over again that membership is key. In other words, having a diversity of members along different dimensions and with different areas of expertise ensures that the experience will be vibrant. We're trying to provide you with good and refreshing recommendations for membership. And some of those come from Navigator. That's the resource where members can raise their hands and say, yes, I'd like to be involved in a product council and talk about why they like to be involved and what they think they could bring. We also would like you to consider WLI and YLG members. It's important to think about the product council experience in part as a mentoring opportunity for new leaders in the profession. And when I speak with chairs, I hear many stories about how chairs became involved in the product council experience because they were being mentored by someone in their field. And now I feel that sometimes we don't take that as seriously as we could. I was talking with a chair of a new council recently, and she shared that they have a goal of having half of their members under the age of 35, which I found frankly astonishing because that might be hard to do. But so far, she said it's going quite well, and it allows for a real diversity of perspective, because we find many times that perspectives on the industry are generational. Ensuring that the topics and guests and formats are varied for your council day is also important. And if you find that you need assistance with experts or formats, we're here to help. My own background is in education, and I have to believe that part of the reason that I was given this wonderful job and good opportunity was because I might be able to add value to you're thinking about how you manage the day if you feel that the format is becoming stale. The most important piece, of course, of having a good council day is maintaining the confidentiality and the trust and the respect that come with having a really deep, meaningful conversation with a lot of colleagues that you trust and respect. And so whatever other goals we have the goal of maintaining that confidentiality, which we hear over and over again is really crucial to your experience. So with all of that having been said, I'm going to turn it over to Tim, and Tim will walk us through the new leadership webpage to be sure that you have access to all of the resources that can help you to plan a really good council day and to manage this responsibility.
Thank you, Cindy. I hope that all of you have had an opportunity to review the new website that we have sent a link out about a couple of times to date. Very excited you guys get to be the first crop of chairs to be the beneficiaries of this new functionality. Before, as many of you know, you relied on us sending information out piecemeal, which was static. This way we have everything in one place that we believe at this point you could possibly need, and always in an updated format for you whenever you log in. So with that, I'll look at the first area, which is our annual timeline. And actually, the annual timeline is a nice visual representation based on our fiscal year that will give you a rough schedule of events throughout the year. And as you can see, we start in the month of June with the draft. We run through the summer and fall with adding new members to your council into our fall meeting schedules. And you guys can see this, as I said, anytime you would like. If you have any questions about that, as always, you can feel free to reach out to us. Backing back out of the annual timeline, you can go over to the next link, which is for resources. In the resources area of the website, you will find best practices, expectations of council members, the ULI Code of Ethics, council procedures, and our governance, and also a handy way through our member system to find council members. You'll also find here an archive of council day surveys. If you want to look several years back on for a trend line of your councils, you can find it there. The next area of the website deals with the draft and appointing members to your council. The top half of the page has a list of instructions, which I'm sure many of you have been involved in for the last couple of weeks preparing for your draft, and those submissions would be due July 1st, preferably. I won't go over some of the materials here for the draft because we've spoken about them in a couple of our calls that we've had already, but I will focus a little bit on the bottom of the page, which tells you the requirements for adding members to your council, their expectations, different financial requirements for being on a council in case any of you or your prospective members have questions about them. They're all available there. This is an area where we deal with logistics and content resources for your council day. We have grouped links out from the meeting hub based on upcoming meetings. So, of course, we're currently dealing with DC and we'll be having additional resources available for our Toronto meeting as our event partner concludes their advanced trips and we know a little bit more about venues and other issues there. Within the Washington, D.C. area of the meetings hub, we have a variety of resources available there. We have a logistics area that will tell you a little bit about your budgets and how we imagine things going for you on council day, different things to keep in mind regarding transportation around the city, audio visual when you're in offsite locations, How to get content assistance is another important area where we've added a lot of functionality and information this year. Anytime we hear about something within ULI that may be germane to the upcoming meeting and specifically to your council, we'll be posting information there. So if you're looking for topics, speakers, what have you, anything that we know about, you can find there. We also have agenda templates, a list of venues, possible tours that we've also heard about that's also new and concentrated here for you this year, and a link to the Knowledge Finder, which is an area, it's knowledgefinder.uli.org, where you will find information about a lot of different content, whether it be prior meetings from product councils or district councils. You can find speakers and topic areas that may help you plan your agendas. And that about covers resources, Cindy.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Tim. I think we're at the point of questions. So we're still all here. Are there any questions from you based on our presentation or anything that we didn't talk about?
This is Marty Stern. How widely can we share the website that you just discussed about with assistant chairs, other people planning the meeting, you know, people helping with the draft? Is that an issue about sharing access to that site?
The site has a singular password. So the password we shared with all current leadership is the same one. So if you have somebody new who's not currently on leadership but will be July 1st, for example, you're free to share the link and the password with them for access. I would not share it, obviously, with your general membership, but I would Sure. keep it to your leadership team or anyone specifically assigned to assist you.
And it's designed for all the leadership team. So whomever you have helping there, it's fine with us if you share it with them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions?
This is Jim Durrett. I have I've been encouraging the members of our product council to get their headshots up so that it's easier to develop a relationship because you can put faces with names if you're only bumping into people once or twice a year. And some of the members are having difficulty uploading their headshots. And I don't know the reason behind it, but I know two of them use Macs and not PCs. With whom can I put them in touch to see if they can get some technical support to do that?
If you send information to me, I will have somebody work on it on our end. My sense is that they may be trying to upload a photo that has too large a file size, but we won't know until we find out more. So send them to me.
Thank you, Tim.
Sure.
And Jim, thanks for mentioning it. That is actually really important. It's amazing how many folks don't have their headshots in the system, and it does make it a whole lot easier to identify people.
And we really appreciate you guys doing that. We have seen a very large uptick in updated not only bios, but also headshots, which have really fed the new directory functionality that we've rolled out. And we hope you guys have found that a good benefit.
We'll also be taking headshots again at the fall meeting. So if some of your members actually want a new one, and we'll have people there who can help them to upload them as well.
It will be uploaded automatically.
Oh, it automatically. Andrea said it happens automatically, like magic. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciated you taking the time and looking forward to talking with you and working with you.